here I have these three little kids. They were 7, 4, and 2 at the time of diagnosis. I was supposed to be releasing audit minor in 15 days. And the same day I had my mammogram, I had to start up Collaborative, say, hey, we're ready to wire you your $50,000 investment. We need your banking information.
Welcome. Welcome, gang. Welcome back. How are you? How the heck are you? Good question, right? Good to have you here. For episode number 172 of Future Proof, Bill Sheridan here, and happy to be here, I might add, as well. Listen, you might never have heard a story more incredible, more powerful, more inspirational than the one you are about to hear today. So strap yourselves in, get yourselves ready, get yourselves right. And while you're doing that, let's get this out of the way first. This week's show is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. All right, so I know a bunch of you are busy this time of year, right? Putting it mildly, I'm talking to all you tax pros out there. They don't call it busy season for nothing, right? And I feel your pain, folks. I do. I really, really do. Nothing but love and respect for all of you as you navigate another maddening tax season. Stress levels have just got to be through the roof right about now. I can only imagine. But listen. And again, nothing but love for all you tax pros out there. But when it comes to stress and anxiety, you guys got company. And I'm talking in the form specifically of new business owners, small business owners, those entrepreneurs out there who stopped themselves one day and said to themselves, hey, you know what? I think I can start and run my own business. Right. And then rather than doing what the rest of us would have done, which is, recollect our own sanity and move on with our lives, they went ahead and did it, right? Now, the stress and anxiety through the freaking roof, right? Where does all of this stress come from for small business owners? Well, a recent report from Xero called Small Business Big Stress has some ideas. And the folks at Maxwell Davies, which is a business recovery and insolvency outfit based in London, they boiled down some of the top stressors that are listed in that Xero report. And they did it as follows. Okay, here they go. Number one, and no surprise here, managing staff, right? Getting the right team, going in the right direction while, remaining happy and productive. No mean feat, right? Number two, administrative tasks. Simply put, bureaucracy, red tape can stifle company growth. And who likes dealing with that, right? The Federation for Small Business and Starling Bank, they estimated that the average micro business and small or mid-sized business owner spends between 60 to 70 hours per month on tasks like tax returns, reliefs, employment contracts, pensions, auto enrollment, health and safety assessments. No fun, high stress. Number three, feeling responsible for the company's success or failure. A third of smaller mid-sized business owners find key decision-making to be very stressful, knowing that expensive mistakes could impact the company's future success. That's a huge burden to bear, right? Number four, compliance, complying with regulatory changes that can be really costly for businesses, no matter the size. Number five, overheads and expenses, poor cash flow. Booking has always been one of the top reasons a company shut down. So keeping on top of small business expenses is vital, but again, stressful. Number six, clients, specifically keeping them happy. Customers are the lifeblood of your company, right? And they know it. Keeping them happy so they'll come back while still making a profit. That can feel like a high wire act sometimes. Number seven, imposter syndrome. So this one's a little surprising, but I guess not really when you think about it. Small business owners can sometimes feel like imposters. Hardly surprising when a small business owner needs to wear so many hats, right? Having to deal with an array of issues on a daily basis, life throwing those business curveballs at you all the time. It may feel sometimes like you're not really qualified for the job. Stressful stuff. I mean, absolutely. Number eight, taxes. As usual, there's no escaping it, or the stress, right, that comes with filing your small business tax returns. Number nine, time pressure. Running your own business, it's time consuming. So, with so many things that must be done there, you know, it may feel like there's just never enough time in the day. And these pressures kind of force small business owners into working extremely long hours. And that puts enormous stress on your health and mental well-being. And number 10, multitasking. Small business owners oftentimes find themselves multitasking, squeezed between, you know, ever-increasing workloads and time demands. It might seem to be the only answer. And then you add to that the fact that multitasking is, in fact, impossible. Literally, you can't possibly do two jobs well at once. That just adds to the stress. So, small business owners, they've got a lot of crap to deal with, which just creates a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, which can make you wonder if it's all worth it. Now let's throw a couple more stressors onto that list, shall we? Let's start with a pandemic. No need really to elaborate on that one. We all know what we're talking about there. Next, let's add a family and all of the emotional and financial and time-related factors that are involved there. And then finally, last but not least, just for the hell of it, let's throw a life-threatening illness on top of it all, along with, you know, a couple of extended rounds of medical treatment and therapy, just the works. And what you've got at the end of it all is the incredible but true story you're about to hear from my guest this week. She is Kelly Mann. Kelly is a CPA. She is the co-founder and CEO of Audit Miner. That's a tool that's used by CPAs to save time and increase the quality of their 401k audits. And in the spirit of transparency, AuditMiner is the newest preferred provider of the Maryland Association of CPAs. We're very proud and happy about that. But in the first 6 months of product release, AuditMiner has built a really strong customer base, 25 states across the country. But and it's a pretty big but, actually. The reason for our conversation today, it hasn't been all rainbows and sunshine for Kelly and her team, right? A lot of stress built in there as well. She's built the company from the ground up during a pandemic while raising three very young children. And to top it all off, she was diagnosed in the middle of it all with stage 3 breast cancer 6 months after the company was formed. And as you're about to hear, there were many, many points in time when AuditMiner could have gone under. And there were many points in time when Kelly herself could have gone under. But this is truly a story about resilience, about perseverance and strength while creating and growing a woman-owned business from scratch. And I couldn't think of a better way to close out Women's History Month than by hearing more about this amazing journey. And it is amazing. Taken by one of the more amazing women that you're likely to meet these days. So prepare to be inspired, folks. Sit back and relax and enjoy my conversation this week with Kelly Mann. Where are you, Kelly?
I'm in
where,
Omaha.
Where do you, I'm sorry? Omaha?
I'm in Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay. All right. A fellow Midwesterner here. So right? I work for the Maryland Association, but I'm full-time remote from St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So similar weather. Wonderful.
Yeah. There you go. All right. So listen, I know a little bit about your story, but I don't really know where to start. But what I understand about this, it has its roots, a couple of years ago from Leadership Academy, AIC?
That's right.
Okay. So get us started.
You want my story?
Yeah. Let's just see where it goes.
Yeah. So it's funny. You know, my story starts a little bit before that. I always like to start it with, like, I'm a female, right? And in public accounting, there aren't a lot of other female firm owners, if you will. right? Very male dominated. And my husband's a plumber. Again, very male dominated, but very easy to like start your own company as a plumber, right? Mm-hmm. Like a trade. And year after year, I used to tell him, why don't you start your own company? Like go out on your own. You can make so much more money. And he just kind of laughed it off. And I mean, I would every year for 10 years, I'm like, start your own company. Come on. And then in 2018, I said it to him and he looked at me and he's like, why don't you? And I'm like, oh, touche. Right? That's right. Not something I can do though. I'm not a tax accountant. I'm an auditor.
Right.
Like auditors don't start their own practices. So anyway, there's that. And then the other thing that kind of led up to this decision was for my career in public accounting. I ask questions a lot. I like to change processes. I don't necessarily like to do the same thing as we did it last year if I think it could be improved. And I ask a lot of questions. And as a female in a subordinate position, that doesn't always play well, I guess you could say, especially when you have a larger firm, multiple partners, there's politics involved. And so with the most meaningful intent, like with a heartfelt intent, my boss, I would say, would always tell me, try not to be such a bull in a china shop, right? Like you need to learn how to navigate the politics of a public accounting firm if you want to be a partner one day. And there's absolutely truth in that, especially for a female that has the, I don't know, the opinions that I do or the voice that I do, if you will.
Right, right.
Those are two background stories. So late 2018, I go into the AICPA's Leadership Academy.
Okay.
It literally changed my life. Like that is not an exaggeration.
Like what about it had that kind of impact for you?
So the biggest thing is I went there and I found my people. I wasn't the only one that was not satisfied with the status quo. There were other young professionals, female and men like me, that questioned everything and thought there was a better profession for us, a better way to do things, right? The old school mentality, the boys club, that was outdated. And it was okay to think that way. It wasn't because I was a bad person.
Right.
And then also I learned a ton about myself. So one of the things I learned was I'm okay with being a bull, but I am not okay living in a china shop. I realized that the traditional public accounting firm was not where I belonged. And it gave me the confidence of these people telling me, you can do it. You can start your own firm. It gave me the confidence to go out on my own and do it.
Yeah. This goes back to, what was it? Just an awareness of what your strengths were and where you ought to be spending your time?
Yeah. Like one of the biggest things that came out of it was I identified my values, my character values. And my top character value is creativity.
Oh, wow.
I do not consider myself a creative person. Like I can't even draw a stick figure. It's embarrassing. But I do always look at like process improvement and I love coming up with new things. And so I realize that creativity is at my core. And when I can't be creative in whatever form that looks like, I get upset and I get frustrated and I don't feel valued.
Right.
Another one of my core values I found out was bravery.
Okay.
Another one was, perseverance, which will play into my story here in a little bit. But I really learned all these things about me and I'm just like, yes, that is me. And if those values are stepped on or they're not allowed to shine, I don't shine and I'm not happy. So through the Leadership Academy, I kind of learned all this stuff. And when I was done, I went back and I left the firm I was at. And I was like, I'm going to start my own CPA firm where I'm only going to audit 401k plans.
Wow. So like, I mean, how was this immediate? How quickly did you make that, come to that realization and make that shift as soon as you walked in the door after Leadership Academy or what was the time?
I mean, it was Leadership Academy was, I think 3 days. And by the end of the third day, I was pretty convinced I was going to start my own firm.
No kidding.
And then you go back to the real world.
Yeah. Right.
And you're like, wait, am I going crazy? Can I really do that? But the Leadership Academy has leadership alumni. And I started talking to other alumni from like 10 years prior to me. And they all just gave me the confidence that, yeah, I can do it. And one of them gave me a 21-step process of how to start your own CPA firm. Like that was huge for me. Yeah. I was like, okay, this is what I need to do. And I got this huge like white piece of paper that, or like a board that you'd use at a science fair, right? a big whiteboard. And I started jotting down on post-it notes everything that I would need to do to start my own CPA firm, because I was overwhelmed. And so I was like, I just need to get it out of my head. Mm-hmm. And I put it on this wall behind me. There's a cow picture here now, but it used to be right there. And it allowed me to visually see everything I needed to do. And it broke it down into tasks. And I was like, okay, this is manageable. I can do this.
Yeah.
And as I would take a step, like one of them was quit my job. And so I left Leadership Academy on a Thursday. The following Friday, I had put in my 2 weeks.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. And I pulled that sticky off.
that's kind of fulfilling, isn't it? Where you could check the box or pull the sticky off.
I'm say, such a list person.
Done. But I mean, how nerve-wracking was that to
actually? Oh my gosh, I wanted to throw up. And I had been at this firm for 10 years, and like, I loved the partner I reported to. He was my mentor, mm-hmm. and I loved my coworkers. But in public accounting, when you leave to go to a new firm or you start your own firm, like that can be considered treason. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it was very scary. Like, are they going to escort me out the door when I tell them this?
Right.
And I'm the breadwinner of my family as a CPA. Like, my husband's a plumber and he does well. Like, it's a very good trade, but I still made more money than him.
Right.
Our health insurance was through me, our vision, our dental, all of that. And he was at a very small company, and it's like, does he have, they didn't even have benefits.
Yeah. That is scary.
So the impact on your life, and my kids at that age were, oh my God, my youngest was 11 months. I have three kids and my youngest was 11 months.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, a little nerve wracking, right?
It was a big, big decision. It was a big risk that I took.
But that's there's a quote, and I'm going to screw it up, but that's good motivation, right?
I have to make it work.
When you just cut the cord right there.
Yeah. And I had like, no clients to take with me.
Right. So now it's real and I got to make it work. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So my last day at my firm was the day before my 36th birthday. So I was 35 at the time. Yeah. Right. So I was 35 at the time when I quit. So basically 36. But so I left the practice to start my own practice. And as I'm doing that, I'm calling a lot of the technology providers in the audit and accounting space saying, what software do you have specifically for employee benefit plan audits? Because that's all I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. Right. And they say, if it's routine and repetitive and mundane, technology is going to take over your job. Mm-hmm. Well, in the 401k audit space, there's a lot of that goes on.
Right.
And so I was like, where's the tech? I just assumed there would be some. And so I start calling all these technology providers saying, what do you have for benefit plan audits? And every single one of them said, we don't have anything. And so, okay, great. Have a nice day. Well, 2 weeks later, a representative from every single company had called me back and they said, we heard you were interested in employee benefit plan technology. That's an industry we want to get into. We just don't have an expert with the vision.
Uh-huh.
And so I would talk to them for about 15 or 20 minutes about what I thought technology could potentially do in this space. Like, what are the routine and repetitive things? What are things that I could foresee, you know, a bot doing for me, if you will? It was all theory at the time because I'm a CPA. I don't have a technology background. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, okay, great. Thanks. So we're going to, you know, think about it. And if we want to continue to move forward down this lane, we'd love to have you be a part of it. And we'll let you know. I was like, oh, that's so neat. Like, I was so excited. These technology companies want my ideas. Like, how neat is that?
Right.
So a few weeks after that, I had two of those companies schedule Zoom calls with me. Now, this was in 2019 before Zoom calls were cool, right? Yeah, like, this was not the norm, but
yeah,
because they did Zoom calls. And at that point, I was like, okay, hold on a second. If all they want is my vision, I want to try and own my vision.
Right.
So I canceled the Zoom calls and I started Googling how to start a software company and startup accelerators. And I took a coding class through Stanford University online to see what it was all about. And that is what started my company, Audit Miner. Like, that's where it was really born, was the desire for the technology, nothing out there in the marketplace. And then seeing that other companies that are already established also have an interest in this space.
Well, gosh, I mean, it had to have been like a bolt from above, right? That it's like, there's nobody else has any clue about this either. Why not me? Right?
Why not? Yeah. And why can't I do it? Like, the Leadership Academy, like I said, gave me this new confidence in myself. Mm-hmm. So I found a startup accelerator in Omaha, Nebraska here. It was through the Omaha Chamber of Commerce called the Startup Collaborative. And so they didn't take any equity. You didn't have to pay them. It was a nonprofit. And it was kind of like a 10-step process of how to start a tech company, a software company, really.
Yep.
Like you had to do all the legwork, but they guided you through it. And so one of the first things was establishing a need in the marketplace. So this was started in February. Over the next 6 to 7 months, I polled 45 different CPA firms across the country. I was sending out cold emails. I was sending out messages through LinkedIn, anywhere that I could get someone to listen to me or to fill out my survey of, is this a problem to you in the benefit plan world? Mm-hmm. What is your biggest frustration? Anybody that I could get a response to, I did. And so there were about 45 of them in total. And it was Zoom calls, or it was a Google questionnaire form, or it was a phone call. And I took all of their responses about what their frustrations were in the benefit plan space, as far as auditing goes. And I said, what is the most common frustration among all of these firms that I think technology could solve?
Mm-hmm.
And that is where I got the prototype for AuditMiner.
No kidding.
So I had my own assumptions of what I thought was hard. But then when I talked to other CPA firms, I was like, well, they don't necessarily share it.
Yeah.
But this is what is shared between all of them.
Gotcha.
And so that is where the prototype came from.
And this was, so what year again was this?
This was in 2019.
Okay.
Yeah. So during this time, I met my co-founder, my CTO. His name is Jason Bachner, because I don't have any technical background. Mm-hmm. And he has the undergrad in computer science and the master's degree in computer engineering. Like, he knows all that stuff and can talk all that stuff.
Yep.
So he's my co-founder. Together, we formed the company in, it's really funny, the date. It was October 14th, 2019. And for any employee benefit plan auditors, we're going to laugh because the big deadline for benefit plan audits is October 15th.
Right. Timing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's another, the date comes into play again in 2020, which we'll talk about.
Uh-huh.
So October 2019, we formed the company. I got a grant from the Nebraska Department of Economic Development to build the prototype. It was a $35,000 grant.
Okay.
And so we used that to start building the product, like mm-hmm. through my vision of what I saw this prototype doing. It was a very, very small piece, but I wanted to build it small because I'm not a millionaire. I quit my job. I don't have a lot of income. And so let's start small and make sure this is a thing before we actually spend money, like more money on it, right? Like before I have to like mortgage my house again type thing.
Good idea.
Yeah. Or liquidate my retirement account. So we're building the product. We intend to release the product in April of 2020.
Okay.
And we're also getting an investment in April of 2020 of $50,000 from that nonprofit.
Yep.
To help us, you know, just run the company, like cash flow.
Fantastic.
So yeah. So that was super exciting coming up. It was March.
That's a pretty quick turnaround, October to April. I mean,
yeah, but I said it was a very small product we were building.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was truly a prototype.
Mm-hmm.
There was no bells and whistles. It wasn't anything too fancy, but it was something that solved a problem that people were willing to pay for.
And in the meantime, the pandemic hits.
The pandemic hits in March.
What was that like, trying to build a company from the ground up in the middle of kind of this global emergency?
That, you know, it's funny. The pandemic doesn't really play into my memory there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The reason is because, like, right as the pandemic was starting in March, on March 29th, it was a Sunday night, I was heading to bed, took a shower, got out of the shower, and I have no idea why I did this, but it's going to sound maybe weird for a podcast to say this, but this is how it happened.
Uh-huh.
I grabbed the sides of my left breast and I felt like there was a cell phone inside of it.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, what is this? So I wake my husband up. I was like, James, do you feel this? Like, am I going crazy? And he's like, no, there's something there. So the next day, March 30th, I call my doctor and I say, hey, I think I found a lump in my breast. And they say, well, come on in. We don't have anything else going on right now because we're not seeing any patients for anything unless it's like an emergency type thing, right? It's COVID. Wow. And so I call my parents because right now we have a seal. Like, we can't see our parents because we have kids and COVID's a real thing and we don't want to kill a grandma and grandpa.
Right.
So we have said we're not going to see them until, you know, 2 weeks when COVID's over. Hindsight's 2020, of course.
Yeah. Everyone was saying
that. Yeah. But I called them, and this happened to also be my husband's first day back to work in 5 months because he ended up having a pulmonary embolism. Oh, his lungs were 90% filled with blood clots. Yeah. And it was his first day back to work. And so I was like, he has to go to work, but I need someone to come watch my kids because they're not in daycare and there's remote learning now. Mm-hmm. So we break the seal. My parents come, they watch the children. I go into the doctor's office. They do a mammogram. They say, yes, there's definitely something there. I think we want to do an ultrasound to get a closer look.
Okay.
So I go right back to get an ultrasound. And then the radiology doctor, I forgot what it's called, comes in with a box of tissues.
Oh, no.
And she says, this is concerning. I would like to do a biopsy. Mm-hmm. And because we are not seeing any patients unless it's diagnostic, I can get you in 30 minutes. Typically, it would take 1 to 2 weeks for a woman to get in for a biopsy. And they mm-hmm. have to live with this, what's going on, for 1 to 2 weeks. I didn't have that. I had 30 minutes. And I don't have any tears. I'm just like, what is going on right now? Like, I'm a healthy, at the time, 37-year-old.
Right.
So I go in for my biopsy, and they biopsy 3 different tumors.
Oh.
3 different things. Like, what is going on? So, you know, they take them, and she said, we'll call you back in 2 days. So April 1st of 2020, which is the universe playing a joke on me, right?
Yeah, right.
I get the call at 12:30 that I have breast cancer.
Oh, God.
I have at least 3 tumors, one of them being 3.5 inches long. That's a very big tumor.
Yeah.
37-year-old. I mean, it took up my entire left breast from my nipple back to my chest wall. And then I had at least 3 tumors in my armpits. So we knew it spread outside of the breast.
Yeah. How aggressive were they?
Well, at this time, we didn't know for sure. We knew it was aggressive. Just because of how big it was, right? And I'm 37, I'm not supposed to be having breast cancer at this age.
Right.
So what they say is, you know, we don't know the staging. We know that it's spread to the lymph node. We need to do full body scans to see if it's spread anywhere else. Now, if it had spread anywhere else, that was going to be stage 4 cancer, and that is terminal.
Mm-hmm.
So as of that day, I didn't know if I was going to be alive in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And here I have these 3 little kids. They were 7, 4, and 2 at the time of diagnosis. I was supposed to be releasing audit minor in 15 days. And the same day I had my mammogram, I had the startup collaborative say, hey, we're ready to wire you your $50,000 investment. We need your banking information.
All of which is just a little bit stressful and probably.
And then there's this pandemic, this like 100-year pandemic going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now I have to have cancer during a pandemic.
Oh my God. Kelly.
So how do I run 2 companies? Because I have my CPA practice and they have clients.
Right.
I have audit minor. I have 3 kids that are all home and I'm a mom. Like, I do all the things, and now I have to do it during COVID. When it could kill me.
Well, and I feel like I know what your answer probably would be, but I mean, we all of that stuff coming down on your plate at the same time. I mean, where does your mind go first, right?
My mind goes first. Do I need to start making videos for my kids?
Right.
And telling them, I'm going to cry, telling them how much I love them and how proud I am.
Yeah.
That's where it was. I mean, like, I called my co-founder, Jason. I didn't call him. I texted him because I couldn't talk. Like, I couldn't verbalize these words. Like, when I found out, my husband happened to be home because we were both working half days. So one parent could take care of the kids while the other one worked.
Mm-hmm.
So he was home when I got the call, and I immediately went into the bathroom, had him come in with me, and we locked the door so the kids couldn't get in. And I just dropped to the floor. I was bawling. Like, I was throwing up in the toilet. I was like hanging on to him, shaking. He was crying with me. Like, am I going to die? Like, that's what you think, right?
Right?
Like, everything else is on the back burner, but family, and are you going to be here in 6 months?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I was probably in there for like 15 minutes. It felt like forever. Pulled myself up, called my family members to tell them. I didn't call my older sister because she had given birth to 2 daughters 12 hours prior. So the day I found out I had cancer, my older sister gave birth to 2 daughters the same day.
Aye, aye.
So it was such a roller coaster for our family.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, what else do you want me to add into here? Right.
Right.
Like, aye. I can't make this stuff up. So I told my co-founder, Jason, it is cancer. He knew I had a mammogram, and everyone was like, oh, you know, 99% of the time it's nothing. Well, guess what? I'm that 0.01% that gets diagnosed.
Right. Right.
And I said, I don't know what this is going to look like. I just need to put everything on hold for Audit Miner for the time being. I said, no, thank you to this $50,000. Because if I'm going to take money, I'm going to be a good steward of that money. And I don't know if I am going to be here to spend it. Like, I can't take that money. And so I turned the money down. We decided to halt the product launch. We weren't going to do anything with it until I figured everything out. So I found out it was stage 3 breast cancer.
Okay.
Thank God it wasn't stage 4. You know, I'm still here today. And I started chemotherapy on April 24th. And I decided for my CPA practice, I was going to continue with the clients that I had, but I would not accept any more clients. Mm-hmm. Audit Miner, we would put slightly on pause. We had a little bit of development we needed to finish up. I wasn't ready to just disband the company. So it was still out there. You know, I still like talked to people about it. I did a lot of research as to who I was going to try and sell it to, like compiling a list of names. But then because it's the, you know, COVID and my kids are home and I started getting so sick from chemo. My parents ended up taking my children and they raised them. Mm-hmm. So they had them Monday through Friday. They would bring them home a couple of nights a week if I felt well enough for like an hour or two. And then they would come home on Saturday and Sunday when my husband was home to be able to take care of them. My husband needed to work to pay the bills. And so I could have health insurance. That was very important now. So April 24th, I start chemo. I do that for 6 months. And it's like in the movies, you know, like I had my mother-in-law who lived 7 hours away would drive down to Omaha every other week and stay with me because I was afraid that if I fell asleep, I wouldn't wake up. Mm-hmm. And so if I slept for longer than 3 hours, I would have her wake me up to make sure I was alive.
Oh my God.
Like my husband would change my clothes some days. There were certain days where he would carry me to the bathroom because I couldn't walk. I was so weak. Mm-hmm. You know, it was tough. It was the most grueling 6 months of my entire life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then I get done with chemo in, it was September of 2020. So from August to September was, you know, hell.
Yeah.
And then I have a double mastectomy on April 15th, 2020. Which is why that day is funny again, because it's my big deadline. And here I am, I have my double mastectomy. And the thing that was the hardest is I did all of this by myself because visitors are not allowed with you. So I spent 8-9 hours at the infusion center getting chemo by myself. People would drop me off and pick me up. Mm-hmm. My husband had to drop me off at the front door of the hospital for my double mastectomy and pick me up 2 days later. That's very scary. Like it feels like an amputation.
How do you keep from, how do you keep your thoughts from overwhelming you in that kind of situation?
I did a lot of journaling. Mm-hmm. So I have a Caring Bridge account. If anybody can go look at it, they can Google or they can search for Kelly Mann, K-E-L-L-Y-M-A-N-N. It's an open Caring Bridge. I want to share my story. Mm-hmm. But I am extremely explicit and detailed about what I went through. So I talk about depression. I talk about these, like, you know, do I need to make videos for my kids so they see them? Like, I want them to have one video a year for me on their birthday. I want them to be able to open it. Like, I show pictures of what my body looked like after the double mastectomy and what I had to carry around. Like, literally, I had like gear to carry around, like drains and a vacuum. Like, that is how I dealt with the emotions, was by journaling.
Yeah.
And sharing my story to get it out of my head and onto paper. It was like a release for me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I did a double mastectomy in October. They did not clear margins. So I had to have a secondary surgery in November. So for them to go back in and get what was left. Okay. And at that time they ran my tissue samples through, you know, and found out that the chemo had not fully killed my cancer. There was still active cancer inside of me. Well, they took it all out, but the tumors were still active.
Gotcha.
So they put me back on chemo for another year.
Wow. Okay.
And that was complete devastation. Mm. I don't know how else to describe that.
That was
knowing that I would have to still be sick for another year.
For another year. And so this was what, like November of 2020?
November of 2020 is when I found that out.
And so just right up until the end of this past year.
So I started chemo again. I think it was like November 24th. I started again. And I also had to do 33 rounds of radiation while going through chemo. But the chemo that they put me on was not nearly as hard as the first chemo. So my hair started growing back, was no longer bald. And I had a week and a half where I felt good. Like I didn't feel sick. I didn't feel like I was dying.
Okay.
I would have to take a nap every day still, but I still could be productive. And so I told my co-founder, Jason, in January, I think I'm ready to start picking things up again.
Okay.
So we started finishing up development, and we released the Audit Miner product on April 12th of 2021. That was the first day of release of the Audit Miner product.
Okay.
We put it in the market.
How did that feel after everything you've been through to to hit that point?
I felt so proud of myself. Mm-hmm. Like I did it. I had this vision and I persevered, you know, and I got it done. Like I reached this goal of mine to create this, and it was a real living, breathing thing. And I didn't give up on it. I was just very proud.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's funny, my developer, like when he was, you know, doing the program, and when you first run a program, you have to like type in command lines and run in order for the program to work. And I don't know the coding to do that. And so anytime we would have a sale at the beginning, my developer or co-founder would have to run the sale for me, if you will, process it through the program. And it was a couple of weeks after we released the product, and my developer gave me what's called an executable, basically a desktop version of it. So I could run a sale myself.
Okay.
And he said it to me, and I called him up, and I was in tears. I cried. It was like Christmas Day. It was like the birth of a baby. Like, uh-huh. This is my product in front of me, and it's working. It's a thing, you know? Uh-huh. And we had our first sell in 48 hours after releasing the product.
No kidding.
Yeah. And so over the course of the next 6 months, like, yes, I'm still doing chemo. Every three Fridays I go in for my infusion.
Mm-hmm.
But we're selling the product. In the first 6 months, we had customers in 25 different states.
Oh, God. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That is amazing.
Yeah. It just blew my mind. Like, I kept saying, like, wow, is this like a real company? Like, did we do it? Like, you know what I mean? Like, pinch myself.
Well, and what were you hearing from those customers? I mean, this started with you understanding that there was a void, a need there, mm-hmm. for something like this. Was your product kind of filling that void? What were you hearing?
Yeah. So, I mean, the responses I got back were like, wow, this is going to save us so much time. Mm-hmm. Oh no, this is great. I mean, at first there was a lot of skepticism. Like, who is this chick? Who is this young girl with no hair that's trying to sell me this product? Right. But I had some really awesome early adopters, and they supported me. And so we did not have this product like in the cloud. Like, it's not like it was self-service. They had to send me the files for us to run through the program, and then we would give them back the outputs. And we were going to start as soon as we got product market fit, which meant like two or three customers, mm-hmm. we were going to start putting it on the cloud.
Okay.
And so the feedback, so when we released Audit Miner, the theory is that no matter where the 401k assets are held, it could be at any custodian, the reports that you use for like the general ledger of the 401k plan all would look the same when you use Audit Miner.
Okay.
Because historically you had to know how to read the audit packages from all the different record keepers.
Right.
And it just took a lot of time, and it was a lot of pivot tables and summarization of data and all of this stuff. So Audit Miner takes that, and with its code, it standardizes the audit packages across all the different custodians. Well, when we released our prototype, it was just one record keeper was standardized. It was Empower. Wow. Just one. So we say we can standardize any record keeper, except we can only do one right now. Do you like these pretty reports? And they're like, yes, we like the pretty reports. So instead of, we don't care about it being on the web and being self-service. Right. We want you to have more record keepers on your platform, or custodians on your platform.
Okay.
So we switched gears. Instead of putting it on the web, we brought on more record keepers and integrations. And so while we released with one record keeper on our platform, as of today, which is in March, I think we have 14 on our platform, and two more will be released next week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we've brought on a lot of integrations through our customers tell us which ones they want, and uh-huh. we work with them to bring them on. And so as of today, we still have customers in 25 states. But our we have more customers, and they range all the way from the sole proprietor up to the top 100 firms in the country.
No kidding. You have got top 100s in there.
I do. We have five of them.
That's fantastic. Yeah. How many clients all together at this point?
How many customers all together?
Yeah.
We have, the last time I checked, which was last week, we've had 44. I think we have a couple more now.
In just a year.
Yeah. And 44 doesn't sound like a lot, but in the startup world,
that's
very good.
Yeah. Yeah. And given everything you've been through, I mean, how do you feel about the state of the company at this point? It seems like there's so many stops and starts and all that, but I mean, looking at, you know, where you've been and, you know, over the past year from when it kind of saw the light of day to now, I mean, I still pinch myself. Yeah.
You know, I get comments. So we didn't even talk about this. There's a lot we didn't talk about, but you know, I ended chemo in September of 2021.
Yep.
So about, I don't know, 6 months ago, 7 months ago. I don't even know. I don't have a calculator, but so September 21. And then I got enrolled into a clinical trial in Tampa, Florida. So I live in Omaha. The clinical trial was in Tampa, Florida, and it's a vaccine to prevent breast cancer recurrence.
Okay.
And I was like, I want to be in that trial. Yeah. And they only take the people that are most likely to have a recurrence of my type of breast cancer.
Okay.
And unfortunately, I'm in that bucket.
Right.
Because it was so aggressive. But I get into the trial. And so every week for basically 10 weeks, I had to fly to Tampa, get these shots, two shots in my groins, be sick for a day, be sore for 48 hours, mm-hmm. and then I would fly back.
Okay.
And so again, here I am trying to move Audit Miner forward, but I only have 3 working days a week because the other two, I'm either traveling or I'm sick and in pain.
And when was this taking with the trial?
Started October 2021. October. So this past fall. Yeah. Yep. So from October to December, I was gone from my family and from the business every weekend. Mm-hmm. My last, what I consider my last active cancer treatment was December 17th of 2021.
And
no evidence of disease.
Oh my God. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. And I feel even better about that because I started having really bad back pain on December 24th.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't going away. So after 6 weeks of back pain, my doctor was like, we need to get you in for a PET scan to make sure the cancer's not back.
Uh-huh.
And again, I did not handle that well.
Sure.
That's very scary. And so I go in for a PET scan where they look at your entire body and it came back with no evidence of cancer. So I am happy that I do not have cancer today. And I'm very confident in that statement.
Oh God.
I have scoliosis that developed during chemo. I do have weaker bones and my pelvis has shifted because I was so sedentary. So I'm in physical therapy to fix the side effects from chemo that still linger.
All things being equal,
I'm happy to do that.
That's right.
And then, and recently, so the company Audit Miner was selected as one of the 2022 AICPA and CPA.com Startup Accelerator cohorts.
That's great.
So that's huge for us. You know, I went to New York 2 weeks ago and for convening days, as they call it, and met the other founders and a bunch of advisors from the industry. And Audit Miner it's just taken off. I mean, we're signing 1 to 2 new customers a week.
Oh, that's amazing.
50% of our demos are inbound. Just on Monday, I had a large firm alliance contact us through our website saying we would love for you to present to all of our firm members.
Mm-hmm.
Another one did that a couple weeks ago. We had a large firm say we want you to come, another large firm alliance say we want you to present in May to our members. I mean, it's just like we're getting these one-to-many demos where they're wanting us to fly places and be in person and talk to their members. Like it's incredible.
That's what a whirlwind. Oh my God. I've got, there's a question that was coming to mind, Kelly, that was like, I wanted to talk about lessons learned, but there's like 8 different variations of that question. Let's start with, first of all, the business itself, mm-hmm. and you know how this all began from Leadership Academy, and you mm-hmm. coming to the realization that you're not where you ought to be, and you want to make this move. I mean, what kind of, what kind of lessons did you take away from all that? What would you,
what would you offer
for other people who are kind of going through the same thing that you were going through at that point?
I am a firm believer that the Leadership Academy saved my life. The reason is because it gave me the confidence to leave where I was, start my own company. And by doing that, I became happy. I started believing again that I was a good person, that my personality was a personality that was needed in this world, just not in that situation, not that scenario. Like, I wasn't where I was meant to be. I was meant to be an entrepreneur, leading people, you know, being a visionary. And so after I left that practice, I found myself again. I got happy. I lost 65 pounds over the course of the next year on purpose.
Do you think that contributed to you finding the tumor?
That's 100% why I found the tumor.
Yeah.
Because I mean, when I lost my weight, I had three kids. My boobs were like deflated balloons, right? Like, there was no fat in them anymore. It was just tissue. And I could now feel that tumor. There wasn't fat on the outside of that tumor protecting it anymore.
Right.
And so because I became happy again, I had confidence in myself. I lost the weight because I wanted to get my old self back. I found my cancer. Like, that is how, in my mind, that is how important it is to find where you belong and to be happy. My lesson learned is to never sacrifice my values again.
Oh, wow. That's a huge lesson. And it's hard for some people to, I mean, that, you know, I kind of think of it as the gravity of success, right? It's like we're good at what we do and people appreciate what we do. And even when we come to that realization that maybe we're not doing what we ought to be or what we're really, really good at, it's hard to cut those ties and actually make that leap. I mean,
For me, it was, I needed a community to give me confidence and strength and even a little bit of instruction on how to do it. And so my advice is, if there's somebody in that position, like, yes, I think I'm happy, I'm making good money, I'm good at my job, but in their gut, they know that something is missing. They need to start reaching out to other people that they consider to be successful. Like, what do they feel like is successful? Is it other business owners? Is it somebody who's a yoga teacher? Is it somebody who's a daycare provider? Like, what is success to you? Who do you admire for what they've done? And reach out to them and be honest about where you are.
Right.
You know, I feel like something is missing in my life. When I look at you, you are almost a role model to me. I see success in you and I want your type of success. Can I buy you coffee and talk to you and just hear your story for an hour and start developing that community that's going to support you? And what I found is the people that have done more than you are going to cheer you on. The people that have not taken your same path are not going to cheer you on. They're actually going to make you feel bad.
But
whether they mean to or not, intent is different than impact.
That, I mean, that in itself might tell you a lot about who you ought to be spending your time with.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, you are as good as the people surrounding you. So surround yourself with the people that you aspire to be. And you need to force it. It's not just going to happen. And if you ask someone to share their story with you because you find them successful, 9.5 times out of 10, they're going to sit down with you.
Yeah.
And then you never know who's going to take you under their wing.
And that can make all the difference.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
On a deeper level, the personal things that you've gone through over the last couple of years with your health and your family, what lessons did you take out of all of that?
So a family lesson. So a lot of women get asked, you know, how do you do it as a working mom? And, you know, how do you manage family and life? And it's funny because my response to those questions is the same way a man does. I rely on my spouse. I rely on my parents. I rely on my community. But what I have come to realize, because I think my kids have had more screen time than any other kid over the last 2 years. Because you know, it was survival mode for our family.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. And what I have realized is it doesn't matter. In essence, it doesn't matter how much time I spend with my children. It matters how I make them feel. Mm-hmm. Because they are not going, like, let's say the cancer does come back and I only have maybe 5 years left on this earth. My youngest probably isn't going to remember me. She's not going to remember what I look like. She's not going to remember what we did together, but she is going to remember how I made her feel.
She's how old now?
She's four.
Four. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, they're going to remember how mom made them feel. Mm-hmm. And so when I do have my time with them, I get teary-eyed because, you know, it's a real possibility for me.
Sure.
When I think about the time that I do spend with them, I just want to make sure that I'm always telling them I love them. You know, I'm making them laugh. I'm doing fun things with them that will create memories. And if they have to be on an iPad for 3 hours, like last night, because I was so tired, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they're still good kids and they're still loved. And so I can't beat myself up about not being able to be with them physically as much as I would like, because I just didn't have that option.
And I might add that the examples that you're setting for them, mm-hmm. through what you're doing, the actions that you're taking now, are as important as anything else that they might take with them, you know?
Yep. My 9-year-old sees it, mm-hmm. you know, my daughter, or she's 10 now. She knows that mom's the boss, if you will.
Yeah.
She cool thinks it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. She thinks it's pretty cool. And it's fun to show her. And she sees me working hard. I mean, she says, you're at your computer all day. What are you doing on your computer? Like, they don't understand what I do, but they see me on LinkedIn. They see me on the news. Like, I've been on TV here. They, mm-hmm. you know, and it's so funny because it's like, I'm on the TV, on the news. They're like, oh, that's cool. And they walk out of the room. But if they see me on that iPad on YouTube or something, oh my gosh, mom, now you're a movie important. Star. Yeah. So they do see it. And that's pretty cool too.
That is very cool. We've talked a lot about some of the lessons you learned and some suggestions you might have. I mean, one piece of advice that you might want people to walk away from this conversation with, particularly, you know, young professionals or entrepreneurs, just starting to make their way in the profession. I mean,
yeah.
What one thing would you have them?
Can I give you more than one?
Please.
Okay. So the first one for those young entrepreneurs, the people that have the ideas of something they want to do, my advice to them is twofold. The first one is, an idea is nothing without action. Mm-hmm. And the only thing you need to do for action is take that first step and then take the second one. Baby steps.
Yep.
But it's worthless without action.
I think, who was it? Seth Godin.
Maybe that's where it's from.
Would say that all the time. The words that he uses are ship it, right? I mean, an idea is great, but until you send it out the door.
You have to move on that idea. Yeah. And then the second one for those entrepreneurs with that idea is, don't fall in love with your solution. Be married to your problem. Mm-hmm. So you might have to pivot, but what is the problem you're solving? People are not going to buy a solution. They are going to buy something that solves their problem.
Right, right.
So keep your focus there.
Yep.
And then, you know, for just the general, a couple of things I tell people, there's a quote, and I don't know where the quote comes from, but there's two quotes that I really live my life by. The first one is, just because somebody carries it well doesn't mean it's not heavy. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like that's been my life. People are like, oh my gosh, you're so such a good attitude and you're so happy and you have so much energy. But they don't see me after 5 o'clock laying on the couch all night.
Right.
They don't see my husband making dinner, doing all the grocery shopping, doing the bath time, cleaning the house, doing the dishes, because I don't do any of that. I don't have the energy for it still. So just because I carry it well doesn't mean it's not heavy. And remember that about anybody you run into. Yep. You never know what someone else is going through, right? A lot of my customers have no idea I have breast cancer.
Yeah.
They're going to find out from this podcast. And then the other piece, this is a motto I live my life by. Like, I should probably have it tattooed on my butt. Like, that is, I think about it every day, that the difference between a hardship and an adventure is perspective. Mm-hmm. So I think anybody could probably agree that I have had some significant hardship in my life over the last 2 years. But I reframe it as an adventure. This is something that not everybody experiences it. I was given this journey. I experienced it. I made the best out of it. And I'm not a martyr. If there is any benefit from having cancer, if it gets me in the news, if it gets my story out there, I'm going to take advantage of it.
Yep.
You know, cancer has already taken enough from me in my life that I will piggyback off of it and I will reap any of the rewards that it can provide.
Yeah.
And I do consider it an adventure. And if the cancer comes back and it becomes stage four, again, it's another adventure. And I'll share my journey. I'll share my lessons learned. And I will, you know, just try and find those silver linings if they're in there.
Well, God, Kelly, that was inspirational. thank you for your story. And I mean, that's something that's going to stick with me and hopefully to our listeners for a long, long time. And I appreciate
thank you for letting me share it. I do. I do appreciate that. I do want to share it. I think it's important for other women also, because some of the women that are going to be listening to this are probably going to get diagnosed with cancer, unfortunately, one day in their life.
Right.
And I want them to know that just because you have cancer doesn't make you weak. You do not have to hide it if you don't want to. Some women do, and that's perfectly fine. But as a CEO of a company, I was scared that people would see me having cancer and they wouldn't want to invest in my company. They wouldn't want to buy from me because they would see me as weak and a liability. But you know what? That's their problem if they do. And I have found that that has not been the case with a single person.
It's great.
And so don't let a diagnosis define who you are and how you think the world perceives you.
Great advice, Kelly. Thank you. Good luck with the business.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're MACPA is a proud new partner with Audit Miner, and we're looking forward to working with you.
You heard that? Oh, we're so excited.
So are we, and can't wait to see where that leads us. So good luck with that. More importantly, good luck with your health, with your family. And keep us posted on how things are going.
I will. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Wow. Just wow. That about sums it up. That was Kelly Mann, a CPA and the co-founder and CEO of Audit Miner, which is used by CPAs to save time and increase the quality in their 401k audits. You can find out more about that tool by visiting auditminer.com. And you can find out more about Kelly and her amazing story and personal journey by reading her online journal at caringbridge.org. And she doesn't hold back here, folks. This is her story as it happened, and it's amazing stuff, just amazing to read. You'll find it all at caringbridge.org/visit/Kelly Mann. That's K-E-L-L-Y-M-A-N-N. And finally, don't forget, this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. Here we're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPA. Start mastering these future ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning-framework. And that's all I got, gang. Boy, that was enough. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.